All right, good morning once again.
Good morning.
I have to preamble this message a little bit because I was preparing this message before Marilyn selected the scripture reading for today. So I just want you to know that as she read her scripture this morning, she came to the very last verse, and you'll see that it's very familiar. How do we encourage each other? How do we encourage one another? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." And I know that within our congregation, there are some who do that, who try to encourage each other. See, we're told to encourage, to provide support, to help people be confident in their faith, to help people to have courage when they encounter difficult times, to have hope. In the text that Marilyn read, we are told to encourage each other because Christ died for us. And he was resurrected, and that we too will be resurrected. And that is a hope that is in us, that we should encourage each other with that hope. That there's a future ahead of no pain. That there is a future ahead of pure peace. That we can look forward to the kingdom. That's the hope that's in us. It's the gospel message of hope. And we are to encourage each other with that. The hope that is guarantees and it's the assurance of life eternal, thanks to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I have, and maybe others have visited people who unfortunately are in their last days and they are believers, that hope gives them peace and comfort. They have no fear. But for the unbeliever, we're told that we should share that hope as well. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts revere the Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for what? For the hope that is in you." And when we give that reason, this hope of eternal life, thanks to Jesus Christ, we give that hope with gentleness and with respect. Not out of fear, but we do it out of love. That Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we might have an amazing, indescribable future that is ahead of us. But there are other times when we need encouragement and hope as well. There are other times when we need encouragement and comfort. There are different times in our lives when sometimes we are faced with a challenge. Moses explained to Joshua before he went into the promised land. He said in Deuteronomy 31, he said, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified of who you're going to meet when you get into the land of Canaan. God will go with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." And he keeps on going again. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land and that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them." The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. God will be with us when we are confronted with a challenge. As Joshua was given a challenge to go into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. And Moses repeated, he says, "Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, be encouraged." Because why? Because God will never leave you or forsake you. So there is the hope that we have of eternal life. We can go to God and ask for strength and courage, as Joshua was told by Moses. And interestingly enough, those things that Joshua was to have strength and courage about, he had no worries. He went into the land of Canaan. God's promises were fulfilled. God was with him and Caleb. But then there are other times when we need to be encouraged. Not just the encouragement of eternal life, that's always there, it's always present. But there are other times when we need to be encouraged when we're facing difficulties. You know, what kind of encouragement or comfort can we provide for those who their trials and their tests and their challenges that they're facing, the severe trials they may be under right now, unfortunately for them at that moment in time, they're not thinking about eternal life. They're thinking about, how am I going to get through this tough time? And as Christians, how can we encourage them? How can we encourage each other? You know, it's very hard to be a person, or very hard to be to tell a person, well, have hope for eternal life when they are homeless, or when they're sleeping on the cement floor of a prison and all they have for food is soup, or they're lying in a hospital bed, not knowing what's going to happen next, or when they can't sleep and they're filled with depression and anxiety and worry. How do we encourage? How do we help those people? Because that's what we're expected to do. Encourage them and build them up. You see, discouragement is one of Satan's best tools. He uses it to distract us, to dishearten us. He tries to use discouragement to defeat us as followers of Christ. You know, when we are weary and we're down and we're crushed by burdens, when we're in pain, in unbearable circumstances, when discouragement lies to us and tells us that there's just no hope, you know, it creates disunity. It causes us to start judging each other. Why and how did we get into this situation that we're in? What's the message that we haven't learned here? How are we going to get out of this? You know, Satan really wants you to just say, oh, give up. Just give up. But we're not intended to give away to fear. We're not intended to give up on the battle. We're not hopeless people. We're children of God. We are children of God, and He has given us the ability to encourage and to bring comfort, not just for ourselves and each other, but for others. As Marilyn finished, says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know what I've found? It's very difficult, and I'm sure many of you have as well, to provide words of encouragement. What's the right words? What's the right thing to say? What's the right thing to do when you're aware of someone who is going through a difficult time? What can we say, or what can we do that's meaningful and helpful? You know, I've mentioned this lady's name before. Her name is Rosa. Rosa lives on the west coast of the United States. I didn't know much about Rosa until it was explained to me over a few weeks ago that her life has been a life of horror. She grew up in a very poverty-stricken family. She and her family were homeless and lived in a car for many years. She finally got married, and the man she married, whom she loved desperately, worked in a steel mill, and he had an accident and lost both his legs. And then he passed away. But they had four sons, one of whom is in prison for murder, that he and she believe he did not commit. I think I mentioned it before. He and his girlfriend went on a vacation, and he woke up one morning and she was dead beside him, and he's been accused of killing her. Hard to understand that. But Rosa, who is a Christian and a believer, asked, "Can you send me a scripture every day? Can you send me a scripture every day?" So for over a year now, I have sent Rosa a scripture. And you would think, well, how do you send over 300 scriptures, keep them different and fresh every day? Let me tell you, when you start looking, it's not hard. Okay? God's word is amazing in being able to provide comfort and encouragement. And every day, including this morning, I send a scripture to Rosa. And every day, she sends me an email back. And some days, she sends me an email saying, "I haven't got your scripture yet. Are you okay?" You know. How do you comfort someone? You know, we are to build up and encourage each other. And to those who have yet to hear the gospel message, how can we encourage and comfort those who are feeling helpless and hopeless? That's the question. God tells us the answer, actually. He says, praise, in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who does what? He comforts us in all our troubles." So that, why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Oops. I looked at that scripture 2.5, almost 3 years ago now, and I said, how am I going to comfort somebody else who's in deep trouble when I don't feel comforted myself? But God teaches us by leading us through experiences. You can call them trials, you can call them tests, and it forces one to start to look, and you start to receive the comfort because you read his word, and that brings comfort, and you can bring comfort to others, and in turn that brings comfort as well. That seems hard, doesn't it? We are comforted from the troubles we learn, and then we can comfort others. That's what this is saying. And it's not an instantaneous thing. It takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes faith, and it takes trust. So, how can we be encouraged? And as commanded, how can we encourage each other? And how can we encourage those who are going through hardships and trials? Once again, I'll go through some of the things that I have experienced and learned over the last 3 years, and that I hope you can also use these same experiences and lessons in helping anybody, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, someone who's having severe trials of some sort, someone who you know just needs to be encouraged. How do we encourage somebody? How do we bring comfort? Well, the first thing is prayer. Prayer. Interestingly enough, the first thing we're told is cry out in prayer, in Psalms itself. There are 8 times in Psalms it says, cry out. Who's to cry out? The righteous, those who are connected to God in Jesus Christ. It says the righteous cry out, and what? The Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. You can be on your knees and you can say, "Abba, Father, I am crying out," and you can describe to him exactly what's going on in your life or in the life of someone else. And he hears you. And you will start to see the comfort that he will provide. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. Prayer. Pray always. Be persistent in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Perfect parable of the persistent widow who constantly prayed. Constantly prayed. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Pray and ask for grace. Pray and ask for humility. Pray and ask that you are given the empathy or the patience or the ability to gently strengthen and build up someone who needs comfort and the comfort of God's promises, not just the promise of eternal life, but the promise that he is with you and never forsake you. Not just for the promises of the future, but the promises that he gives us for today. You know, sometimes bringing encouragement and comfort is just sitting with somebody and listening. Sometimes it's not words, it's presence. It's God's presence. I think I've mentioned this before. I read this story once. It almost brought me to tears. Here's this elderly man. He's sitting in a chair and he's weeping a little bit. And he's got his grandson on his knee. And the grandson's mother comes in and says, "What are you doing with granddad?" And the little boy looked around to his mom and said, "I'm helping him cry. I'm helping him cry." That's all we need sometimes, is to help somebody cry by being with them. The next part of how do we provide comfort, and I've already used this scripture today, is to be gentle. To be gentle and be respectful. Be gentle and respectful because no matter what a person is going through, there is no way you can experience what they are going through. You will not feel what they feel. You will not hurt as they hurt. But you can be gentle and respectful and listen and hear what they say. Encourage them by sharing your faith and sharing in what you believe, but with gentleness and respect. The next part is, it's impossible to provide comfort and encouragement without knowing Christ. You see, the world goes and looks for band-aid fixes to people who need encouragement. It can be pills, or they seek alcohol, or they seek drugs, or other pleasures, because that they feel brings them comfort and encouragement. But that's not it. The real comfort comes from knowing Christ. I haven't written it down here, but if go to Isaiah chapter 40 and read it someday, it starts off with comfort. In fact, I should probably read it just for a minute here. One or two verses in first, starting in Isaiah chapter 40. That chapter starts with the words, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. That's what we're asked to do. In verse 11, it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In verse 21, it starts to describe about how amazing our Lord and Savior is. He says, don't you know, have you not heard how it is been told from the beginning that he sits enthroned above the earth? He stretches the heavens out like a canopy. How can we compare to him, it says. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. And then in Isaiah 41 verse 10, so do not fear, it says, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Why? Because I'll strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a promise. And he does it. We read in Joshua also that he won't forsake us. Never forsaken. Be reminded that we are never forsaken. Not just to Joshua, it's also written in Hebrews, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because why? God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never, no matter what you're encountering in life. There's another person, I've not mentioned him before, his name is Mark. Actually, he was called Marcus. My son met him. He was a drug addict, or he is still a drug addict. Marcus was deported after being caught with drugs and stealing, and having had served some time in a Mexican prison. And Mark was deported to Canada because his parents and his family lived in the London, Ontario area. He arrived in the Toronto airport right in the middle of COVID. All he had was a pair of jeans, a shirt, flip-flops. Nothing else. He ended up in a hotel for 2 weeks because of COVID. He was allowed to make a phone call, and he phoned his family for help. And they said, we don't want to talk to you. We don't want to see you. We don't want to hear anything about you. You're done. He was forsaken. I'll try to keep the story short. He was out. A couple of people tried to help him. He did end up in the London, Ontario area. I received a text message from him one day. He says, I've tried to see my family. They've kicked me out. I'm homeless. I now have a backpack with a few clothes. I sleep up against a power station next to Tim Hortons at night because it emanates heat. I've been forsaken. See, God doesn't forsake us. No matter how terrible the situation we're in. Marcus is now actually, he did finally get to a residence. He finally was able to pull a few things together. He was in a homeless shelter, And then finally, one of his brothers decided, okay, I'm going to help you. And he moved to the Ottawa area. Marcus, I don't think, was a Christian. Maybe he is today. But he never gave up, and he had the prayers of many, many people who knew him in his situation. You see, God didn't forsake Marcus. He did not forsake him. So we should not forsake. You see, when we go to comfort somebody and encourage them, it's not a one-time event. Encouragement and comfort is an ongoing event. It's something that should never end. So we are to be patient as we encourage. We are not to get weary in encouraging and comforting people. So I want to give you just a few little things about how to encourage and how we can know that encouragement and comfort is possible. So the first thing that happens when you'll see these on the screen, I'm asking that maybe when you go home, you'll take your bulletin and you'll look up some of these scriptures. But the first thing that happens, of course, when you're in a difficult trial and you need encouragement, the first question that comes into your mind is, well, how long, O Lord, is this going to last? David writes, my soul in Psalm 6 says, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, O Lord? And then the answer comes back. It says in Psalm 27, well, wait. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait. But he also says, don't worry. Don't worry because you can go to him in prayer and be anxious for nothing. But make your requests known to God. How? With thanksgiving. You think in the middle of a trial, what am I thankful for? Well, you're thankful because God is there and he has not forsaken you. He is there and you can hear him and he hears you and he will speak to you and he will provide the comfort. He does, I promise. He will do that. But he also cautions you to be thankful, but also in not worrying. In Matthew, it says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's just handle today. I'll be with you, and I'll be with you today. I'll be with you tomorrow. I'll be with you tonight. I will be with you at all times. And then it says, go to Christ. Come to me. He says in Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll bring you comfort. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then finally, just remember that God cares. He cares. We're not castaways. Well, okay, that guy, forget him. I got billions of more children. No. He cares about each and every person. Everybody. In 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Why? Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. So if you're the person who is providing the comfort, be patient. Remember these things, that yes, it will take time. He won't forsake us. We're not to worry. We're to go to Christ because he cares for us. The other thing that I've learned is that the Psalms have the comfort that you can bring or that you can show to other people or share with others, no matter what situation you are in. No matter what situation you are in, I promise you there is a psalm that can help you go through it or that you can share with somebody else and help them go through what it is that they are encountering. I'm not going to read them all. Here they are. Okay? Chuck will hand out this list of psalms for you to read. Whether the person's persecuted, confused, forgotten, ashamed, thinking that their life doesn't matter anymore, or that their life is hopeless, or that they even are starting to doubt that God exists, that they're drowning in anxiety and in stress, that they're just feeling totally helpless. Those are some of the psalms that you can use. And I can tell you, if you pray over those psalms, or if you read those psalms, or if you share those psalms with somebody else, you will not only be encouraging, you will be bringing comfort. And that comfort is coming from God. Because this is God's word. See, once again, it's not pills, it's not alcohol that bring comfort. It's only God and God's word. We all have trials, but we also have been given the comfort to endure them. I'd just like to close with one scripture. Back in Thessalonians again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Therefore, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Father in heaven, we come before your throne this morning. Pray that we are encouraged. We are encouraged, Father, because by your love, you gave your Son so we can have eternal life and hope. Thank you for that love. We come before your throne and we're encouraged because by your love, you told Joshua to be strong and courageous, and you fulfilled your promises to him, and he entered into the promised land. And we come before you and thank you and praise you for your love, because by your word, we can be encouraged and comfort others. May we have the grace and mercy and compassion and love and patience to comfort others as you comfort us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.